have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Hey, cruising in the wheel, feeling alright. Married, I'ma worship at the red light. Getting lost in my praise, but I'm too hot. The light turn green, now they honking, they'll be alright. Cruising in the whip, feeling alright. Turn up a worship at the red light. Getting lost in the praise, but I'm too hype. Light turn green, now they hugging, they'll be alright. They be trying to put the hoses to my fire. They don't understand why I be praising my Messiah. Sounding like a church in my car with no choir. The windows roll down, turn it up a little higher. When I'm in the spirit, I be feeling transformed. Want me turn it down, saying no to lukewarm. God say do it better, do it, been warned. Baptized, my renewed, feeling reborn. I know there's a lot that don't like how I do things. They be trying to take me down, trying new things. They don't understand I got protection from the true king. There's a cross on my back that I must clean. Send his praise to the heaven like it's fireworks. Everybody want the chorus how the body works. Sunday night praising God till the body hurts. Giving honor to the Father for his mighty works. If you're looking for a reason, I can give you one. Think about a battle that you shouldn't have won. If you woke up in the morning, there's another one. If I was you, I would give praise to the Holy One. God gave me joy so the world can't take it. Riding on the boat, sending away, trying to shake it. Aiming for my faith on the daily, trying to break it. Real fruits from the vine, can't fake it.
Cruising in the wheel, feeling alright. Turn up a worship at the red light. Getting lost in my praise, but I'm too high. Light turn green, now they honking, they'll be alright. Cruising in the wheel, feeling alright. Turn up a worship at the red light. Getting lost in my praise, but I'm too high. Light turn green, now they honking, they'll be alright.
I just do what's required, this ain't my ways. Wait a minute, why they looking at me sideways? All the shade rolling in like a tidal wave. I just learned to turn it up on them highways. Going through, praise God, you forget the hurt. Praising God, where the seeds that be in the dirt. Got my worship on high on the way to work. Ayy, swerving in my Challenger, skirt, skirt. Gotta even learn to do it in the bad times. Broken heart even in the sad times. He can change the game around before it's even halftime. Put the enemy to sleep before it's nap time. The God I praise hold all the power. FP and L ain't got nothing on his tower. He can bring them lights any minute, any hour. He the one to turn your seed, homie, to a flower. Thank God for the chance when the window's up. I be crying like a baby for a sippy cup. Tears rolling down my face begging God to lift me up. Had a bad day, that's a good pick me up. Thank God for the chance when the window's up. I be crying like a baby for a sippy cup. Ay, tears rolling down my face begging God to lift me up. Had a bad day, boy, that's a good pick me up.
Cruising in the wheel, feeling alright. Turn up my worship at the red light. Getting lost in my praise, but I'm too high. Light turn green, now they honking, they'll be alright. Cruising in the wheel, feeling alright. Turn up my worship at the red light. Getting lost in my praise, but I'm too high. Light turn green, now they honking, they'll be alright.
Hey, at the red light, y'all. I'm at the red light jamming to the music. Hey, welcome back. This is Minister Cedric. Welcome back to Elation Radio. This is Relentless Pursuit. And we are back. We're back. We're having a good time today. I hope everybody's having as wonderful a day as I am, because you know what? Tonight is the night. Man, I've been thinking. Been doing some studying, and tonight I kind of wanted to talk to everybody who feels like you are doing something, but you're not going any place. In other words, for the people who feel like, you know, am I doing what God has called me to do, or I'm not sure I'm doing the right thing. You know, one of the things I like to talk about, and I just love it. I love helping people to discover who they are. Over the past few weeks, I've been doing a little training with some people, and most of the people that I train as far as working out, they're trying to lose weight, right? They're a little bit up in age. Pretty much all the people that I've trained are 50 and above, but they're overweight. Their health is starting to fail them. Their joints are aching. And they're saying, if I could just lose 5 to 10 pounds, and I tell you what, I try to instill in these people that I talk to, the people I work out with, is that you were created for a purpose, that there was something that you were created for, and we just need to get to it. So when they come to me and they say, you know, I just need to lose about 10 pounds. I just don't sleep good. You know, there's a purpose in them wanting to improve their health, right? There's a purpose in everything we do. And listen, purpose is not just in something we do, but purpose is for you, right? Right? God put us here for a purpose. And so when they come to me, and the way that I kind of equate this is that I tell them all, I laugh because, and people don't know why, but I laugh when they tell me their goals. They come in with these goals that all they had to do was starve themselves for 2 weeks and they can drop 5 to 10 pounds, right? It's easy. I laugh because, like God, we sometimes as people, we look at the process of getting to where God wants us. We see a very difficult road. So what we want to do sometimes is take a shortcut. We want to shortcut it and get, listen, we want to get these minimal results that we put out because we know that we can attain them. I'm here to tell you that God created us all for a purpose. And sometimes, the majority of the time, in my life, 100% of the time, that purpose requires me to have to go through some things. There are phases in life I have to go through. There are obstacles in each of those phases of life that I have to go through. And so I want everybody tonight to understand you are created for a purpose. And just because the road is tough, just because it doesn't look easy, just because it doesn't feel good and it doesn't have a bunch of beautiful lights and foo-foo colors does not mean that you were not created for a purpose. So I just want to jump right in tonight because I'm actually feeling kind of good. This has been a great day for me. God has been blessing and there have been many challenges in my day. And I will tell you, I have learned to look at my days, look at the challenges and say, whew, thank you, Lord. I know there's a purpose for this. And it all goes into why he created me and how he created me and the goal that he has for me, right? He says he has a plan for my life. And his plan is for me to prosper. Y'all better go back in Jeremiah. But anyway, we'll talk about that later. So as I'm talking about being created for a purpose, speaking of purposes, Jason, you on with me tonight? I want to rap with you a little bit.
Yes, sir, I am. How we doing today?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. I'm already getting excited, so I'm going to calm my little self down here. But now have you. Welcome aboard. Have you thought about that? Have you thought about us that God values each of us and each of us was created for a purpose? Sometimes.
Oh yeah, this
life,
is.
No, you go ahead, brother.
Oh no, I was just gonna say, you know, this is something that's kind of near and dear to my heart because you know a lot of times we lose sight of our value and our purpose, and we think a lot of times we're just here. You know, there's no reason for me to be here. There's no purpose for me to be here. I'm just here because mom and daddy liked each other on a certain day. And that approach and that mindset is so short-sighted. And you know, when people really understand, and I love the scripture that we're reading, so I won't give them up, but as we start reading the scriptures and we really truly understand what they're saying, man, it's such a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. And by all means, go ahead. If you want to start reading the scripture, you go ahead. We can work from that. I mean, I don't mind, but I will tell you that I agree. And it's this huge, big thing. Like I tell everybody, I tell all the readers, right, tonight we're looking at Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. That's what we're looking at tonight. And you know what, Jason, I'll go ahead and start it off. I'm going to read verses 4 and 5, and we can just talk about it, if you will. Verse 4 starts, again, Jeremiah chapter 1, and I'm going to read verse 4 and 5. And basically, this is all it says, right. It says, "The word of the Lord came to me. I chose you before I formed you in the womb. I set you apart before you were born. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." You know, if you read Jeremiah, you understand that he had a calling on his life, right? And when you look at verse 4, we find that God spoke through some individuals, right? And he instructed. And he told them to go instruct and warn the people, right? And so we find Jeremiah here. We find Jeremiah here, and how do I put it? Because I'm kind of grasping for my words here right now. But we find that he had a purpose. And I want to remind each and every person, as I started when we first started the show, is that each of us, God has a special purpose for us, right? He has a purpose for Jason that's specifically for Jason, but he also has a purpose for Cedric that's specifically for Cedric. And then check this out. Then just in case some of us get confused, it also says, he says, "I chose you before I formed you in the womb." See, he's saying that, look, already before you were formed in the womb, you were already chosen. I chose you. You are special. Some of us don't think that we are. And I'm saying, when you look at it like that, one of the ways that we often hear this verse when we read King James or some of the other versions of the Bible says, "I knew you before I formed you." In other words, I knew you before I formed you in the womb. And I'm gonna give you, Jason, you can correct me wrong, but Cedric 101 says this. He says that, "Look here, man. I knew you when you were but a spirit, when we spent time together, right? Before I allowed you, to be birthed, before I breathed life into you so that you were an infant, you were in your mother's womb and you became a part of this world, there was a connection with us. There was a spirit connection. And then when you were born," So the way I interpret that and the way I read that is God says, "I knew you before." So those of us who feel like we can't be understood and things like that, you know, I want to tell you that we have a relationship with Christ. And he's saying that relationship was there before you were born into this world. And I believe that relationship that God has for each and every one of us is specially tailored for us. I go back to my example when I meet people and they want to lose a few pounds. It's funny to me because they don't understand that the reason they have gained weight over time, there are several factors in this thing. And it's not simply because they're aging. They have a relationship that's unhealthy with food. They have a relationship that's not very healthy with exercise. They have a unhealthy relationship, here it is, with rest and recuperation. And a lot of people don't understand that. And I love it because when they were kids, this relationship, though deficient in some areas, because they were so young, they were able to overcome areas, or they just never recognized over time these relationships. But I'm here to tell you today that God recognizes his relationship to us. You know, he doesn't force himself upon us, but he recognizes that relationship. And the purpose, and tonight I just kind of want to talk to you, kind of like what we're reading in Jeremiah, that just like God had a plan for Jeremiah, right? And not only did he have it, but he set that plan out right in front of him. Jeremiah was what I call one of the lucky ones who got to interact with God and got to understand that, hey, there is a plan for me. I have a purpose in life. And he understood, he knew that God, how do I say it? God basically created the plan before he got here. And he had that. And so there's what you think about people who feel like they don't have a purpose in life, who feel like who don't realize that they were created for a purpose.
I think that's what we're talking about when we talk about the just being almost, for lack of a better word, misguided, right? You know, the scripture you just read, one of my favorite part of that scripture, my favorite part of that scripture is, I formed you, right? And you know, we read past that, but when you think about that sentence, the God of everything, the God of creation, the God of eternity, the God of all things that ever existed, took time out of his schedule to put hands to create us, right? You know, we think about it, like how many times do we put our hands on something to create, to do? We do that when things are special to us, right? So for God to take time out of his schedule to shape us and then mold us and then with the mindset of and with the thought of, I've got a purpose for you, that just starts off everything. Forget about the purpose. The fact that, you know, God put his hands on me to create me, you know, that makes me special. That makes me set aside. That makes me just oh so special. So when we think about it just from the beginning, that God took time to form us, man, what does that say about how much he cares? And then from there to know that the same God didn't just form me for to be aimlessly walking around here, but with a purpose that he wanted just for me, that's just suited just for me, right? You know, so it's easy to get caught up in our culture and the things that we see. You know, not everybody's going to be someone who can go out there and score 30 points in the NBA, right? Throw the football 50 yards down the field, right? Hit a baseball 300 yards, you know, over the wall, right? Be a singer where everybody's singing your song. We all are not gifted and blessed with that. And unfortunately, sometimes we feel like because we're not have those gifts and we don't have that purpose, that we don't have any value. And I think that's the biggest lie and misconception is that, man, our value doesn't come from the things that we're doing. You know, our value truly comes from the fact that God's decided, like, hey, you know what? I love you. I'm going to put my hands on you to touch you and to make this work. So, I mean, it's amazing what that really means when we think about it.
I mean, because think about this. Think about Jeremiah. And when you look at this, you know, when you get to verse 5, and it goes through and it says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, right? Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. And what was Jeremiah's response? What was his response? In verse 6, he says, but I protested. Oh, no, Lord God, look, I don't know how to speak since I'm only a youth. Look, I'm too young. Like, I don't know how to speak to people, right? But it says that the Lord said, he says, but God said to me, right? I'm putting this in layman's terms, in my own terms. But God said to me, hey, don't say I'm too young. You got to go to everybody I send you to and say whatever I command you. And just don't be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Now, look, why is that so important? Why is that so important? A lot of us, as I said before, the example I used was with some of the clients that I've been training. They get nervous. See, they give me these goals that, as I said before, anybody could attain. 10 pounds? All you got to do is starve yourself for a week. You can lose 10 pounds, right? Yeah, you will. But what's going to happen? After you lose that 10 pounds, you're going to be excited. Then you're going to go back into your old way. You're going to go back into the way that you know to do, and then you're going to gain weight. In other words, you still don't have a healthy relationship with food. I'm not calling you, and I believe that this is how God is. When God has created you for a purpose, he's not calling you to make a temporary change. No, see, I don't believe that that's how God works. I believe that God says that, look, I created you for a purpose, right? And then what happens when we start to take on the mindset that God has called me to do a thing, we don't just make a temporary change. We make a full change, right? So when my clients say, well, Cedric, what am I supposed to do? And the first week, the first time I take on a client, the first week, now again, most of the people, all of the people that I've trained over the last 2 years are over 50 years old, every single one of them. So the first thing I do, check this out, Dex, is I don't lull them into a false sense of security. I let them write down their goals. I take notes. I listen to their aches and their pains, and I make sure that they go visit a doctor, and I look over their physical, the paperwork they get from the doctor, right? Check this out. The next thing I do is I tell them, all right, so the first things I want you to do, I want you to learn how to go to sleep at night. Well, I can't go to sleep. Well, I go to bed at 9 o'clock, and I lay around until 8 o'clock in the morning. Okay, that's fine. I ask them what they eat. They'll generally go through a litany of things that they eat throughout the day. None of it's healthy, right? Usually they don't eat very healthy. They think they're eating healthy, but they're not. They usually, I can tell you in my case, they usually have a lot of sugar. They usually eat a ton of starches or carbs, such as breads and rice and all of these other things. Then they think they're doing good by themselves. Well, I just eat sandwiches for lunch, and they're usually eating 2 to 4 pieces of bread at lunch, and then they're usually starving themselves later on in the day when they really need a couple of extra calories, not a lot. They eat these big bowls of soup with tons of salt and pasta and all these kinds of things, but it's okay because they don't really know what their relationship is. So what I do the first week is I try to introduce them. I start to gradually introduce them to a healthier lifestyle. Now, what do you mean by that? The foods that they eat. When you're a little bit older, you need a little bit extra. You need a little bit more protein than you did when you were younger, right? Especially if you're female, right? You just do, because your bones, because of the way you eat, your eating patterns, your sleep patterns, you need a little more sleep, right? And so when they give me the little tiny goal, and then by the time they start working out with me, they've already been with me for a week. We start the second week, and then I lay out their meal plan for them, right? I lay it out. Lots of fiber, and a very good amount of protein, but we cut back on a lot of the fats and a lot of the starches, right? And they feel like they're not going to have energy, and I tell them all the time, trust me, you're going to get carbs from your veggies, blah, blah. Anyway, I go through all the details with them, and then I talk to them about going to sleep at night. And the one thing that they dread, and that's the reason why I'm telling this story. The one thing that they dread is just like when we find out God has created us for a purpose, the one thing that they dread is they say, I got to exercise. And when I tell them exercise is very important, but when it comes to your diet, when it comes to your rest, and then when it comes to exercise, exercise is the least of these. Listen. When God has a calling on your life, God has created you for something. Listen, all of us have a certain type of call on our lives. When God has called you to do something, understand the act of following his instruction, right? Right. The act is the thing you need to worry about least, because he is with you. He says, I am with you always, right? I try to encourage people, when God has called you, God has created you for a purpose, and whatever that purpose is, you need to walk in that. You know, some of us are called to be more like Paul, right? But no matter the journey, if it's difficult for you, Jason, then and God called you, I'm saying you have to trust the process. Just like when my clients come on board, they say, Cedric, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this, but I can't do that. And I say, I just want you to try with me. And I have one lady who She can't, she's a little bit older. She's like 68, 69. She can't do full squats, right? We're doing body weight squats. You know what I tell her? Here it is. I designed a specific plan for her that just says you don't have to do a full squat, sweetheart. You just do a half squat. She can do a half squat. And we're going to work on half squats until she can get to a full squat, right? Listen, when you are following God's lead, when God is guiding you, it's okay. I believe that God is saying, just do it. You know, you start walking, you just do it, and he will get you to where you need to be. And it comes after practice. I'm sorry, Jason, I'm a little bit excited, but just like he told, just like Jeremiah heard, he said, you know, look, don't say that you don't know how to speak. Don't say that you're too young, right? I'm going to tell you what to say, and as long as you say what I say, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid of the masses that I'm going to send you to talk to. And then he says, he says that don't be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. So how many of us, if we knew that God would come to our rescue, that we would be more willing to not only recognize that we are created for a purpose, but actually get out here and walk in that promise? I mean, wouldn't you feel better about running the race if you already knew you were going to win the race?
I know, and I think that's the challenge. We forget, and I love that scripture you just mentioned about, you know, not only did he tell Jeremiah had a rebuttal. Oh, I don't speak well, God. I don't think I can do it. And what did God do? What he does, always does, he just equips us. He equips us to do the things that we're supposed to do. And I think it's amazing that you know, when we're called for that purpose, right, then not only are we given a purpose and we're given a desire, but we're given the tools to do so, right? So to your point, success is inevitable, right? It's already been decided. And that's so exciting. But I think the hard part is, if you don't think you've been called, if you don't think you've been chosen, if you don't think that you've been set aside, right? And that the God of all things knew you before you and made a conscious effort to form you, then it's even harder to step into the fact that, okay, this is my purpose, right? A lot of people, mm-hmm. once they get that, you know, you see that excitement when they realize that how much God loves them and they see their purpose. And the first thing they want to do is go out and say, okay, how do I make it happen? And you know, I love when they have that energy, and I always tell them, like, don't worry about it. God's going to equip you, right? If he's called you to something, he has already equipped you for it. So just stay in him. Keep resting in him. Keep just leaning into him, and all that will be revealed to you. And it's such an amazing thing. You know, how many times are we given jobs, and sometimes we're not given the tools. We're expected to have the tools, you know, in every one of our situations.
Yeah.
When we're given a job and someone wants us to do something, you know, especially if that job comes with a great reward. You know, most people don't want to say, okay, I'm giving you a reward from this job, but I'm also going to give you the tools. Most people say, well, bring your own tools, you know. But we serve a God that says, hey, you know, I'm going to give you a reward, and I'm going to give you a way to get the reward, which just reinforces the fact that he wants us to have these things. He wants us to accomplish these things. He's setting us up for nothing but success. And all we have to do is just continue to look to him and lean on him and trust him. You know, trust that he's going to do what he said he's going to do.
See, but why do you think that's so difficult for us to just trust? Why is it that a kid, the ultimate trust for me is a baby? When you have a child, and let's say you stand this child up on the table, he's about a year old, and you say jump, and you hold your arms out, and after a few moments of hesitation, that baby will dive off of that table right into your arms, knowing that you're going to catch them. Why can't we adopt an attitude similar to that when it comes to doing the things of God? Why are we?
Well,
so
I'll tell you what happened.
Why do you think
just
that
like that kid that one time made that jump and the parent didn't catch him and he fell and hurt themselves? We have a lot of hurt and pain, and when we have that hurt and pain, we think that no, I, you know, it starts to affect our trust. it starts to affect our ideals of, you know what, we can do this. You know, he's got my back. You know, a lot of times those falls aren't even that God didn't catch you, is that you made a misstep. You know, I went out there, I had too much to drink, I did something I'm not proud of. Now I think, you know, everything that God promised to me is not for me, right? No one wants this. No one wants any of this. You know, God can't use me anymore, right? These are the things that we get so confused by. We get so just misguided by, right? You know, our failures and our missteps and the things that happen to us. You know, people, we truly believe that those things can separate us. And God has already said, I've equipped them. And there's nothing that we can do to take the tools that God gave us away. The only thing that we can do is just not accept them and not embrace them. You know, so it becomes hard. I mean, and you know, we all had it. Life will kick you in the mouth at some point and make you think that, you know, you're not worthy. You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You know, you can't be used. Look at all these mistakes you made. And in reality, the reality is God still says, I've equipped you.
And it's funny when you say that because by the time we get down to verses 7 and 8, we find again, I've already read them, but I'll read them again. It says, then the Lord said to me, do not say I'm only a youth, but for youth, for you will go to everyone I send you to and speak whatever I tell you. Do not be afraid of anyone, for I will be with you and rescue you, right? And it says that this is the Lord's declaration. Why can't we? You said it's that kid. He jumped and the parent didn't catch him, right? But I fall back on the process. Like again, so many of the people, and I say so many, it's not really been that many people. I think I'm up to 15, 13 people total. But the thing is this right here, they have their trust in the process is waning because they've tried all these things. Check this out. Here's the funny thing, though. They don't trust their own process. But then when I come into the picture, and in the beginning, they're skeptical of my process. But when they start to see results in my process, then all of a sudden they're saying, wait a minute. You see, they forget that they were trusting me to guide them the right way. And how do we get back to trusting God just like that, just like Jeremiah? How do we get back to trusting God? And as we learned in reading Jeremiah, God told him, you know, the word was, hey, trust me because I'm going to be with you. How do we get back across that way? Because, you know, I believe that when God speaks to us, he speaks to us with a certain level of authority and a certain level of assurance, right? And basically, there's a declaration, right? And when we discover what he has for us and we recognize that not only did he say, hey, look, I created you for a purpose, but his creating us for a purpose is more or less his covenant. Just like he had a covenant with the Israelites, it's his covenant with us. You know what I'm saying? And
yes. And I think, you know, you ask, how do we get back there, right? I think, you know, as we go through life, we just got to see life in the right perspective, right? You know, one of the things that, you know, God has really kind of shown me is that those missteps and miscues that may have happened in my life, tragedies, they were blessings, right? There were things God used
to
shape me and help form me, right? One of the things I tell all the kids that I work with, you know, even my own children, you know, they ask me, what was life like going out without a dad? And I'm honest. I'll be honest with them. Like, it wasn't good. You know, it hurt. But I'll tell you this. When I shifted my mindset and then look at what I didn't have, but I looked at how God used it in me to develop a desire to love on kids, love my own children, love other people's children, and to know that loss of not having a dad, to so much so that it puts in me a desire to fill that gap whenever I'm given an opportunity. You see that, man, look how God used this thing that was supposed to be bad, this thing that was supposed to be, you know, should have been detrimental, right? But when you shift your perspective and see, like, man, look what God can do in all this mess, it changes so much stuff. So part of that transition, part of getting back to God, is recognizing, seeing them in every circumstance, to know, like, oh, this wasn't no accident, you know? Oh, yeah, it might have been the best thing for me, but it definitely wasn't an accident, right? And God can use whatever the situation is and circumstance for his good.
Mm. see, because verse 9 says this. I'm going to go ahead and read verse 9 and 10. It says, then the Lord reached out his hand, touched my mouth, and told me, I have now filled your mouth with my words. See, I have appointed you today over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and demolish, to build and to plant. Now listen. See, is that correct or wrong? See, when I read that, I understand that God equips us, right? He equips us with what we need to carry out his purpose, right?
Right.
But sometimes the thing that we got to tear down is right here in our own lives. Sometimes the things that we need to tear down are the obstacles that are blocking us from God, right? And I think that now, though, when you go back and you read the scripture, right, Jeremiah's mission is, if we continue to read as we'll go through, we'll find that God had put him in charge of nations to go and talk to all these people. But sometimes the issues we have are in our own lives, and God has equipped us to overcome some of these issues so that we can get along with the business of our Father. Like the example you use, Jason. And this is, and I don't mean to be insensitive to anybody, but you went through a tough time, your dad not being there, and you're trying to be there for your children, and you want to be there, and there's nothing that'll keep you away from your kids. Am I right or wrong?
That's right.
And me having children, there's nothing that'll keep us away, because we're going to be there. No matter what happens, we're going to be there. And you know what? We trust. I'm going to give you a real world example. People don't judge me. But there was a point in my life when I'm divorced and my children's mom did not want me to be a part of my children's lives. For whatever her reason was, I'm not even trying to judge her, not even trying to go into the details, but she asked me to give up my parental rights to my kids, right? At that point, I couldn't talk to her. There was nothing I could talk to her about. So I hung the phone up. Hey, there's no need for me taking her calls. I only took calls from my kids because I was so angry. But I'm going to tell you what happened. I'm going to tell you what happened. I'm going to tell you all the truth. This is the honest to goodness truth. There came a situation when my children absolutely needed their father to be there. No questions asked. Don't get mad at mama. Don't fuss at the world. We need you. And like, no questions asked. Listen, I knew God had called me, not only called me, but he had created me for tough situations. My whole life, especially my adult life, I have had to deal with tough situation after tough situation after tough situation, situations of my own making, situations of somebody else's making. I've had to stand by somebody who was going through a tough situation. I'm talking my entire adult life. So when it came back, when it came to me and having to do it with no questions asked, just to be there, God had created me for that thing that I had been groomed for, the things that I despised about my life, had me hating my life. I'm going to tell y'all something. I went through those tough times, and I'm talking a period of years, okay, more than two or three, more than four or five, okay, quite a few years. And when it came down to it, every experience I had before the situation came up where my children needed me had prepared me for that moment. And I'm telling y'all, because it's hindsight, I can look back and say God was preparing me for that one moment in time. Like Whitney Houston said, how many of y'all remember that song, Give Me One Moment in Time, One Moment in Time by Whitney Houston? It was that one moment in time that all those years before I was being prepared. And I believe that that point in my life, I said, God, I get it. I understand this moment in my life. Everything was tough before then. But when that moment showed up, listen, people, I'm telling you this because some of us, we look at the road ahead of us, and it looks very treacherous. It looks very difficult. It looks hard. It looks impossible. But I'm here to tell y'all, when God is preparing you, when God has created you for a purpose, he knew you before he formed you in your mother's womb. He already created you for a purpose. Now he needs to develop, oh man, y'all better understand, y'all need to develop y'all skills, because when you get to this one area of your life that it's going to be either life or death, pass or fail, you have to be prepared. And I'm telling you, I just believe that all those years leading up to that one moment in my life, I'm not going into the details of what it was, it's just my kids needed me. Here's the benefit of going through all that, the hell, the tumultuous times that I went through. Here's the benefit. When they needed me, I didn't question it. I listened. I heard them. I felt compassion for them, right? I listened to me. Now, all the things, I didn't get angry. I remained calm. All the things that I would have done had I not gone through those hellacious situations before, I'm telling you, God prepared me for that moment, because I had failed hundreds, maybe thousands of times before, but he prepared me for that one moment. And that one moment, I was cool, calm, collective. I was thinking on my toes. I was right. My heart was in the right place. The words came out right. Y'all don't hear me. My vision was right. Because see, what the enemy wanted me to see for evil, I saw for good. Y'all don't get this. Y'all better get this. Because see, sometimes when we're going through, we forget that we were created for a purpose. And that purpose we were created for, y'all listen to me, a lot of times it's not even for us. Ah, God created us for his purpose so that he could get to glory. Let me tell y'all something. Because I believe one of the reasons, now, not the total thing, but because I handled that situation so well, each and every one of my kids loves God. They're not perfect kids. Don't get me twisted now. They're great kids. They're wonderful kids. They're young adults now. They love God. But here's another thing. The one thing I had been praying for, the thing that I had shed tears over, a grown man, right, shed tears over was this. I have a great relationship with them. And ultimately, I believe that that's what God wants us to have as fathers, as men, as mothers, as women, brothers, sisters, uncles. God wants us to be there for one another. That's why we're all in this one big family, this Christian family. Some people don't even profess Christianity, but guess what? They still your brothers and sisters. I was once told that you can choose all the friends you want, but you can't choose family. So who God brings into the kingdom, they become family. So it's important for us to understand that we're all created for a purpose. And if we get out of the way and follow God's lead, okay, Yahweh will make a way. Not your way, not your way, not my way, not the highway, but that is God's way, and he will make a way for us. And I'm telling you, I love it because, man, if God says go tear something down, I tear it down. But remember, though Jeremiah, he had set Jeremiah out to uproot and to tear down and destroy and demolish things. But listen. Even after God's judgment, after the tearing down, after the destroying, after all of that, listen. God's judgment would be hope. Huh? Mm. There would be hope after God's judgment. So I want to say this to everybody. Tough situation. You not recognizing what God has called you to do. You not wanting to put it out there. That's fine. Because after the things get destroyed, after the things are torn down, listen, after God's judgment has come over the place, listen, he leaves you with this. And I'm telling you, hope. There's hope there. And there's hope for each and every one of us. Why? I believe because God created each of us for a purpose. But Jason, you can go ahead and jump in, man. I got excited. I'm going to try to calm down. But it's really, really important that we understand that judgment, and it says it in the scripture, would come before hope and encouragement. And so think about this. But again, the example I used about the people I train now, imagine them failing all of their attempts, their entire adult lives, and finally coming to a conclusion that my health is bad, it's getting horrible. Imagine them going through all of that, right? Imagine them being just if you could, they fail. But then I come along, they get introduced to me, and I only work word of mouth, right? And then they get introduced to me, right? And then all of a sudden, I give them hope, and then I encourage them. And then later on, because I have 120 days, that's what I tell them, 120 days to get you where you want to be. And they come in the door with I want to lose 10 pounds, and they walk out the door having lost 40 pounds. 50 pounds, 60 pounds. They come in the door with diabetes, and they walk out the door without diabetes. They come in the door with high blood pressure and walk out the door with normal blood pressure. Y'all don't get it. Triglycerides are now. I mean, they walk in the door one way, and they walk out the door another. Why? Because, listen, after judgment, you'll find hope and encouragement. I'm sorry, go ahead, Jason, but that's how I feel about it. And that's what I was thinking about when I was looking at this list. And I may be using the wrong context, but I just want to encourage somebody today, Jason, because, man, I'm just feeling like so many of us, we feel lost. So many of us, the world just seems heavy. And I hadn't planned to go on like this much, but it just the world, the events of this world that are happening right now, they just feel heavy to me. And so I wanted to encourage somebody tonight. But go ahead, Jason, if you got something to add to that.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I think, you know, not just the events, but our culture as a whole is going to constantly point out what we've done wrong, right? Constantly point out, you know, how we're not worthy, you know, how, you know, this person is doing that and that person is doing this. And look at me, I'm not really doing all that. And, you know, I think to your point, what happens is we lose vision. We lose perspective, and we allow ourselves to get caught up in some of that nonsense. I mean, for lack of better words, right? Because when we focus on scripture, and like I said, if you read the scripture and you read not just the words but the sentiment, you know, when God talks about the creation of us, you can just tell the love and the care that He went through in that creation, right? People don't put time into things that they don't care about. So the fact that God took that time, took that energy, made those things shows us how much He cares, right? And we just have to, you know, really just continue to lean on that. And in spite of, because it's going to be in spite of what our culture tells us, what such and such tells us, sometimes not even the people that you love, in spite of what they tell you, just know that God says, no. I got something bigger and more special planned for you. I love how you talked about situations where, you know, we look at things and we see the negative things in our life, and we see those as, oh, man, these are just bad things. But like you pointed out, a lot of times that's just God preparing us, you know. Right. And it's a hard reality. But the greater the job, the more you have to train. I mean, you got to think about it. One of the hardest jobs is a doctor. And how much training does a person go through to be a doctor, right? How many years of education, you know, high school, college, med school, years of being a resident, just to do that job? Well, jobs in the kingdom of God are just the same. That, you know, when we're called for greater things, there's going to be a lot more training that has to go and be involved. And that's one of the hardest things to accept. But that's also the thing to be excited about as we walk with God and we face these challenges, and we know the harder the challenge is, we know, okay, well, God's really going to be using me for something, right? And that sense of excitement can come about to say, like, okay, let's do this, right? But it is hard, but just, you know, don't fret. Don't allow yourself to your perspective to be shaped and altered. Just know God said it, and it will be.
See, and that's the beauty of it, because you know, for a lot of people, when you think about God, in Amos 4:13, it says that He who forms the mountains, who creates the winds, and who reveals His thoughts to mankind, who turns dawn to darkness and treads on the heights of the earth, the Lord God Almighty is His name. See, if you just remember that, if you just remember the Lord God Almighty is His name, I'm telling you, you're going to be in a better place. I mean, like I can't tell you, like there was a time in my young adult life I was transitioning out of the military, but my life, it looked good from the outside, but it was horrible on the inside, and I didn't know how to communicate with people. In other words, I didn't know how to talk to somebody about my problems. Like today is fine to talk to a therapist. Even in our communities, you know, back in the day when I was growing up, it was taboo. You didn't talk going to see a therapist or a psychiatrist. I didn't even know what a therapist was. I'm going to be honest. I didn't. I probably didn't learn what a therapist was until I was like 24 years old, right? Not something we talked about in my house, but the ultimate therapist is God. And that was something I had to learn over the years. See, I didn't even know I had been practicing this, Jason. Man, I grew up, and I like to tell people we were poor. We weren't dirt poor, but we had enough money where it looked like on the outside we had money, but when you got inside, we had none. Like, there were times when our lights got turned off, our water got cut off. There were times when we didn't have groceries in the house. There were times when mama was riding on $2 worth of gas trying to make it to Friday till she got a paycheck. Daddy had to go pawn all his tools so that we could have food. I bet you I went through school maybe 2 years of my life and never had lunch money. At my freshman year of high school, never forget, the lunch lady felt sorry for me. And from, I'm not kidding, this was like the first, second day of school. And from that moment to the day I graduated high school, she gave me free lunch every day. Every day. For some reason, she said she thought I was a really good kid and I deserved it. And she gave me free lunch to the day I graduated high school. No kidding, I am not making it up. Listen. It was moments like that that set me up. And when I got to be a young adult, I didn't know how to talk to people. But I started, even back then, see, that's what I meant to say, I'm sorry. Even back then, I always talked to God. I didn't know. I just was talking out into the atmosphere. I was talking in the wind. I had heard a preacher say, just put it out in the atmosphere. I didn't even know what he was talking about to this day. I don't remember. But I remember hearing a preacher say that when I was a younger man. And so I was a teenager. And so I would go for long walks. I would walk for 3, 4, 5, 6 hours, Jason. I'm serious. And I would just be talking to God. And I'd be saying, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know nothing about college. God, girls don't like me. I mean, God, really, come on now. God, I make good grades, but I don't want to just be a nerd. Why I can't fit in with everybody else? I mean, I talk to God about everything, and I didn't even know it. Again, I say to everybody, anybody who just hear me, you don't know what God is training you for. You don't know but why God is allowing these situations to happen to you. You don't know, because it may be that you're going to speak life into somebody who's about to commit suicide. You haven't a clue. You just speak life into that person. It may be that you give a little boy, a small child, $5, not knowing that $5 is going to go to buy medicine for their sick parent. You don't know. You just listen to God and do what God says. Do what thus saith the Lord. And I'm telling you now, life, you were created for a purpose. Life is going to get better and better and better. And even if it don't, listen to me, even if you don't see the relief yourself, even if you don't see it, he may be using it so that you can still bless other people. We don't always get the reward. Y'all better hear me. We don't always get the reward. But God, see, when we do it for him, he always gets the glory. And when he gets the glory, the kingdom is strengthened. There's another soul who comes in and says, "Ooh, I did not know." Jason, did I tell you what happened to me this week?
No, what happened?
I'll tell you what, man, this was a crazy week for me. Watch this. I'm telling you how God works. Okay, here I am. I'm getting upset because I got all these medical bills, right? And one of the things, because at one point in my life I had bad credit. You remember that, right? When I couldn't even buy a can of soda on credit. If it cost 1 penny a month, they still wouldn't give it to me, right?
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't, right? So I have made it a point. I am never going to miss a bill. I'm never going to be late, right? So here I am, And that's my philosophy. You know what? I'm take care of it. If I make a debt, I'm going to pay it. And so here I am the other day, and I'm saying, man, this is crazy. I'm about to spend all my money to do this or that. And then I say to myself, well, you know what, man? You make the bill, you got to pay it. And I want to pay off these credit cards. I'm like, I'm going to pay them off. No matter what, I'm going to pay them off. So I get my money together, and I'm like, okay. So I go to pay them off. Now, check this. I am not kidding. Like, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 days later, I get an email from, I don't know, Consumer Credit or somebody, I forget. Well, they said that there was a company that I had gotten a loan from a few years back, and they had been sued, and they settled out of court, right? So they settled the suit. I ain't know nothing about the suit, right? They settled this suit, and I got an email saying, check your PayPal account because we're going to send you X amount of dollars. I'm like, man, somebody, there they go with this spam email, right? People trying to steal from you. Jason, I'm telling you, the next day, the money was in my account. So I went back and I read through the whole email, and I started checking. It was the Consumer Credit Agency. So I actually went to their website, and it showed it was the right website. It was a legit website. And sure enough, I got blessed for it on the back end, right? And again, I'm not saying I did something to deserve it or earn that. What I am saying is I kept my trust in God, and I kept my faith in God, and I tried to keep my word. And in that, I believe that I received a blessing out of it, right? I wasn't even expecting it. It was just out of the blue. I kid you not, just out of the blue. And it made me laugh when I saw it because I said, oh, ye of little faith. And I was talking about myself because I was like, I don't worry about stuff. I'll pray about it one time, and I'm done with it. I'm not the guy that keeps going back to the well. That ain't me. I pray about it, and I'm done. Just like when Jesus made the mud, he spit in his hands, and he wiped it on the guy's eyes, and he told him to go wash. That's me. I'm going to go wash it. I'm good. He opened up his eyes, and sure enough, he could see that's me. When I pray about something, best believe. You can't ask me. If you tell me Sunday, hey, can you pray for my brother? Sure, Sunday I'm going to pray for your brother. Don't call me Tuesday and say, did you pray for my brother? Or can you pray for my brother again? Ain't going to happen. I prayed for him already, and that's time to let God do what he's going to do. And that's the way I believe. I'm not saying everybody believe that way. I'm not even saying it's effective. I'm not saying it's working. But I have enough faith in my God to know that he created me for a purpose. And when I'm doing his purpose, when I'm acting on what he told me to act on, I'm just silly enough to believe all I need to do is send up one request and let God bless it, and I'm okay with it. But you don't get that level of confidence in God without having failed a million times, and every time. I failed a million times, but God saved me a million and one times. You hear me? Because if he didn't, I wouldn't be here. And so I want to encourage somebody tonight. I want to encourage you, and I just want you to know that you were created for a purpose. Whatever that tough decision is, whatever that tough situation is, believe me, you do it the God way, and nothing but good is going to come out of it, all right? Nothing but good. So I know I'm just running off at the mouth, Jason. I apologize. I didn't mean to take over the whole conversation, but I believe that God values each and every one of us, and the reason he does is because he created us for a purpose, and I want y'all to know that purpose is his purpose. Whatever he outlines it in your life is still his purpose, and that's what we have to look at it as, and we have to fall back on God and look to the hills from whence our health comes from. In other words, we need to look up to him, and when we have questions, when we have doubts, man, talk to him. Talk to him. Before we close out, Jason, you guys got something you want to say, man?
Nah, man, you covered most of it. I think, you know, that excitement that you have about knowing that God has chosen us and he formed us is an excitement I wish everybody could feel, because once you step into that and you know that, hey, I'm not here by accident or by chance or by anything other than the design of God, and, you know, I have a purpose, and I'm meant to be here for something, I mean, that same excitement comes into your life. So I love it that you demonstrate that, because you and I both know how exciting it is once you step in and recognize, yeah, man, I was made for a purpose.
That's right. Man, I'm telling you. Man, I'm telling you, Jason. One day, Jason, I'm going to have to interview you. You're going to have to tell us about some of the stuff you've gone through and how God has shown up in your life when you least expect it, because I'm telling you, man, I love your story. and I love how faithful you are. I mean, like, you know, just having a partner like you, Jason, honestly, just having a friend like you, and you know where we both were when we first met, just having a friend like you has encouraged me to do some of the things that I've done in my life, you know, and one of those things is to be responsible for my life. You know, you may not have ever known that you had an influence in that area of my life. And I know we're about to close out. We're going to close out here in about 30 seconds, Jason. But I just want to say, you know, I had two friends, you and David, at a point in my life between 2001 and 2002, the two of you guys. And you know, you and I, we hung out before I went back over to Iraq in 2003. The two of you guys had a great impact on me. And it was awesome because, again, God was grooming me for the purpose that he had created me for. And he used two of my closest friends at the time to keep me above water, because that was a point when I wanted to just end it all. You remember I told you that before, but we'll talk about it on another day. we'll hit that up on another day. So I just want everybody to know, you know, it's about that time. And you know what we say, your relentless pursuit, find something you love, you embrace it, you chase it. That's your relentless pursuit. This is Mr. Cedric and my boy Jason. We're signing out. Y'all have a wonderful weekend. God bless you. And we hope to talk to you again next Friday. Mr. Kimmy, thank you. We love you.
I talk, check the way I walk. Yes, that's free, cause my father paid the cost. No, I'm not perfect, God just forgave me. Got a new swag, praising Christ like I'm crazy. This my Christ swag, yeah. My Christ swag, yeah. Uh-huh. This my Christ swag. Okay. My Christ swag, yeah. This my Christ swag, yeah. My Christ swag, yeah. Uh-huh. This my Christ swag. My Christ swag, yeah. Yeah, I'm from the streets, south of the arch, man. Where I used to drink, roll up, and used to spark, man. Now I got my head straight, shining like a million bucks. Christ elevated me, going past the ceiling, bruh. St. Louis City, God Squad t-shirt. Homie, how you doing? Pleased to meet you, this my rebirth. Addicted to the word, it's pumping through my artery. Faith on the meal, the swag is a part of me. Now my glow bright, soul's been redeemed. Covered in the blood, no shower cause I'm clean. Done playing games, rid of the Xbox, almost flatlined. But Christ made my chest pop, walked on the edge. The devil made me wobble, Jesus took the wheel. Fast forward full throttle, still in the hood. Got that street slang, mixed with the spirit, it's a G thing. Deep how I talk, check the way I walk. Been set free, cause my father paid the cost. No, I'm not perfect, God just forgave me. Got a new swag, praising Christ like I'm crazy. This my Christ swag, yeah. My Christ swag, yeah. Uh-huh. This my Christ swag, okay.
Yeah.
My Christ swag, yeah.
God squad,
this my
bruh.
Christ swag, yeah. My Christ swag, yeah. This my Christ swag,
Cartier.
My Christ swag, yeah.
Look. My whole style come from Christ,
yeah.
So own it? No sir, you can't put a price. Like white on rice, I got his blood on me. To be honest, I just care about my guy, homie. And if I'm only living for him, it don't really even matter what y'all think of me. Opinions, you can let them be. I'm killing it, I let them see. The old me is gone. Keep the demons out my heart, then Christ found a home. No more Patron or nitrous. I might just give God a praise with my best. He's highest. Glory in here. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Put my trust in the Lord. I ain't having no fear. No, I don't have a care. Besides pleasing my father. Tell any hater you see, man, don't even bother, cause Jesus is my medicine. I ain't never hurting, catching waves of his glory, man. I'm Christ swag surfing.
Yeah. I talk, check the way I walk. Been set free, cause my father paid the cost. No, I'm not perfect, God just forgave me. Got a new swag, praising Christ like I'm crazy. This my Christ swag,
yeah.
My Christ swag, yeah.
Uh-huh.
This my Christ swag,
okay.
My Christ swag, yeah. This my Christ swag, yeah. My Christ swag, yeah.
Uh-huh.
This my Christ swag.
God squad.
My Christ swag, yeah.
Lie, okay, I get it from my father. Head to toe swinging on that word, that's the motto. Yeah. Used to be an up or down flipper like the Lido. Roll with Big Frank and ST, old squad though. Now I'm aiming at the world with that blessed scope. Hard repetition, stay flexing, holy rollers know. When you see that light shine, this ain't baby doe. He ain't got a VVS on him, what a freak show. No, but I'm close with my father though. I ain't Leroy, but the boy got a lot of glow. Took a whole lot of laying out to kill his ego. Missing my whole purpose like Shaq with them free throws. If you rapping vain, can't edify the people. Swag on 100, gaining speed, adios flow. And I'm top flow, reaching for his glory. You think I got some swag, Christ the one that poured it on me.
Check the way I walk, been set free, cause my father paid the cost. No, I'm not perfect, God just forgave me. Got a new swag, praising Christ like I'm crazy. This my Christ swag, yeah, my Christ swag, yeah. This my Christ swag,
okay.
My Christ swag, yeah, this my Christ swag,
yeah.
My Christ swag, yeah, this my Christ swag. My Christ swag, yeah,